All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way that we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I read the standard protocols for conducting public hearings, as I think everybody knows, we have the governor's current order that requires masks indoors. I'm choosing not to wear mine for the moment so you can understand what I'm saying with regard to the rules. But we do ask you to keep your masks on when you're in the room. When you do come to speak to the commission at the podium, you'll notice we do have a plexiglass divider. For the same reason that I just mentioned, we don't require you to wear a mask if you choose not to when you're speaking to the commission, again, because the plexiglass is there. And the podium and the microphones, et cetera, will be wiped down after each speaker. So I just wanted to explain that to everybody since we're back on the mask mandate, as it were. With that, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings in front of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. They are also being broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. There is a 30-second delay between what occurs live in this room and what is broadcast on the internet. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and so that they can speak first. Again, we will start with folks present in this room, and then we'll ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number. Because there is a 30-second delay, we will pause the hearing if there are folks on the phone line to allow the internet broadcast to catch up for people watching online and wanting to participate in that manner by phone. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence for anyone participating by telephone. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman has the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony becomes irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicants, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comment made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by Sussex County in its deliberations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. And our first public hearing is subdivision 2021-15 Cobb property.
This is a coastal area cluster subdivision to divide 54.38 acres plus or minus into 68 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The property is located on the northeast side of Zion Church Road, which is Route 20, approximately 0.5 mile northwest of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 12, Parcel 21.00 and 21.03. The zoning district is AR1, Agriculture agricultural residential district. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, including in the Chapter 99-9C response. We have a copy of the TAC comments that have been received, including responses from the Division of Water Stewardship, the Division of Public Health, US Department of Agriculture, and the Delaware Electric Co-op. We have a copy of the applicant's PLUS letter and a copy of the staff review letter. We also have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment, including the public facility evaluation report. We also have a letter regarding threatened endangered species on the site. We also received the DLDOT service level evaluation response. And I would note that we have received zero comments in support or opposition. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. All right, they proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. William Scott from Scott and Schumann in Bethany Beach, Delaware. I hope it's okay that I took this down. It'll make it a little easier to understand.
That's why that barrier's there.
Gotcha. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I'm here on behalf of the applicant for the Cobb subdivision. With me tonight are Steve Marsh and Lawton Myrick from the engineering firm of George Miles and Buer, who are on the project, Drew Boyce from Century Engineering for traffic matters. Ed Lene is the environmental consultant. Mr. Lene is with us as well. First, you'll hear from me with an overview of the project. I'll then ask Mr. Myrick to come up to address some specifics with regards to the site, and then I'll conclude our presentation on behalf of the applicant. As Mr. Whitehouse said, this is a proposed AR1 cluster subdivision with a central sewer. It's comprised of 52.4 acres that fronts along Route 20. It's adjacent to the Waters Run subdivision to the north, Ashley Manor and Mill Creek Acres to the east, Fenwick West and Wanmar Lakes are across Route 20 to the south. Property is currently zoned AR1, and it is located in the coastal area for the county's current comprehensive plan. The proposed cluster subdivision would contain 68 lots. There would be one out parcel that would be retained by the seller of just under 2 acres that would be retained by the seller, and the rest of the property would comprise the subdivision, again, consisting of a proposed 68 lots. The density for the 68 lots would be 1.3 units to the acre, which is below the two units to the acre that's approved by the code and as designated by the comp plan for the coastal area. Central sewer will be provided by Sussex County. It's already part of the district. Water would be provided by Artesian. In the exhibit books that were provided to you, there's a ready to serve letter under the utilities tab. Stormwater management, as it must be, will be designed to meet Sussex Conservation District requirements. As permitted by the code, if the commission were to act favorably on our application, the lots are designed to be a minimum of 7,500 square feet. Sidewalks are proposed to be on both sides of the streets within the subdivision, and then would connect to a multimodal path along Route 20 at the front. In a cluster development, open space is required. We'll have open space proposed of 34.64 acres, which is about 65% of the project, would be provided. There would be a 30-foot buffer around the perimeter of the property, and in some cases, there'll be some mature woods that'll serve as that buffer. And of the 29-some acres of wooded acres on the property, 25 acres of that would be able to be retained by utilizing the cluster subdivision structure. The open space would be managed by a homeowners association for the proposed subdivision that would be put in place. The residential development would be contained largely to the what's currently cleared and unwooded area on the property. Mr. Lene is here and has been engaged by the applicant regarding wetlands impacts. There's no state-regulated wetlands on the site, and we don't anticipate that there would be any impact to any federal wetlands on the site either. And there'd be a 25-foot buffer provided as required by code around those non-tidal wetlands. The proposed subdivision, as its main amenity, would have a outdoor pool and a bathhouse. A lawn for games and things like that. A mail center will be part of that amenity so that owners will be able to receive their mail on site, and a proposed bus stop location has been provided as well. As Mr. Whitehouse stated, the project was, excuse me, put through the PLUS process, and the comments and the applicant's responses to each of the comments from PLUS are included in your exhibit book under the tab for the PLUS process. We also received comments from Technical Advisory Committee and Planning and Zoning staff. Those comments have been incorporated into the plan, and the full comments that were provided by staff and TAC and the responses from the applicant are also provided in the exhibit book underneath the tab that has Planning and Zoning on it. With that, I'm going to ask Mr. Myrick to come up and address the commission with regards to some specifics regarding the application.
Very good. As Mr. Scott was saying, I'm Lawton Myrick, a land planner with GMB and out of our Salisbury office. And to reinforce what Mr. Scott was saying, I'd like to add some further detail. Regarding public sewer, a sewer system capacity evaluation request was submitted by GMB and response was received from Sussex County Engineering Department on September 14th, 2020, with follow-up email correspondence through January 21st, 2021. A preliminary layout was reviewed by engineering department staff and approved in concept. Regarding public water, Artesian has confirmed capacity and has reviewed our preliminary layout. At Artesian's request, the water line will be looped through the project to connect an existing 16-inch main in Route 20, Zion Church Road, to an existing 12-inch main in Old Mill Bridge Road. The proposed subdivision is in the Delaware Electric Co-op service area, and we have been in contact with their personnel about potential utility relocations at the proposed entrance on Route 20. Who's driving it, but Jamie, can we show the site plan rendering?
Mm-hmm.
Regarding DelDOT, a pre-application and project coordination meeting was held on November 2nd, 2020, and since that time, DelDOT has agreed to a speed limit reduction in front of the site. Preliminary interest plans and a LONAR application have been submitted to DelDOT and are under review. Regarding stormwater management, a pre-application meeting was held at the Sussex Conservation District on December 9th, 2020. The stormwater management design is still being finalized in coordination with Mr. Linnae's final preparation of the jurisdictional determination drawings. Stormwater management design will be in accordance with DNREC regulations and meet the goals of the Inland Bay's pollution control strategies. Currently, we anticipate no permanent impacts to wetlands on site. There is no impact to any floodplain, nor are there any significant grade changes. As such, grade relationships pre- and post-development will be similar. The surrounding area is either already developed or developing in nature, and density is held to only 1.3 units per acre, and the proposed developed front footprint is primarily an area that is already open and cleared. Removal of existing wooded area is limited. Of the existing approximately 30 acres of trees on site, is estimated that 25 acres will remain. There is no proposed impact to existing wetlands, and a 25-foot buffer around non-tidal wetlands is proposed. Open space includes a pool amenity with changing rooms and area for lawn games, and a nature trail system through the existing woods is proposed and is being designed in conjunction with the preparation of the jurisdictional determination documents. Stormwater management is being designed to be integrated into and coexist with the existing wetlands. Green technologies will be used when appropriate, and because the bulk of the existing trees are to be undisturbed, scenic views will be retained. As such, the proposed subdivision will integrate well into the existing landscape. With that, I'll turn it back over to Mr. Scott. Thank you very much.
Do with my mask. There we go.
Thanks, Laura. As Mr. Whitehouse pointed out, there's a full analysis in the exhibit book of each of the Ordinance 99 requirements, an environmental assessment report, the public facility evaluation report, all under the P&Z tab. I did want to address the specific requirements regarding a cluster development. So as the commission knows, there are specific requirements and criteria that the application must meet in order to be approved as a cluster subdivision. The first one is that homes have to be clustered on the environmentally suitable portions of the tract. And in this case, As Mr. Myrick said, we're preserving almost all the trees, and the development's going to be primarily contained on the open and existing open space or open areas, cleared areas on the site. The open space has to meet the definition of open space, under the code, as it does. It's got to be at least 30%, and of course here we've got 65%. Using the cluster option will allow the applicant to contain those mature trees and keep them as a tract together. And that'll also, again, with the scenic views, you'll see the same, hopefully, mature trees for the most part that you see right now from the adjacent properties. There's a 25-foot setback required around the wetlands, which we have. Stormwater management has got to meet Sussex Conservation District requirements, which we'll have. Removal of healthy mature trees will be limited. In this case, we'll keep most of them. Same for the scenic views. The design of this application and this proposed subdivision started with identifying what environmentally sensitive areas we wanted to be able to keep. So in this case, it's basically farmland and trees. So started with being able to preserve all the trees, push the development into the open areas now. Sidewalks are required at least on one side. We'll have them on two. And again, there is a full analysis of each of the Ordinance 99 criteria in the exhibit book, but our team stands here ready to answer any specific questions that the commission or staff may have regarding any one of those criteria. To sum up, again, it's an application for an AR1 cluster development with central sewer. 52.4 acres will be the subdivision, and the 1.9-acre parcel will be retained by the current owner and will front on Old Mill Bridge Road. The density is 1.3 units to the acre. So Waters Run, which is next door, is about 2 to the acre. Fox Haven is a little north of 2 to the acre. Ashley Manor is about 3 to the acre. So density is lower for this proposed subdivision. Again, not to belabor the point, but 65% will be open space. And we're in compliance with the county comprehensive plan as well as the code, in that we're in the coastal area, which is identified for growth, particularly where there's existing infrastructure, roads, sewer, what have you, as we have here. It's essentially an infill development between a couple of other communities that surround. With that, I'll conclude the formal part of the presentation. If there's any questions that the commission or staff may have, we're here ready to answer.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I just have a couple. I probably missed it during your presentation. Is there going to be a multimodal path?
Yes, out front on Route 20.
That's always a good thing. And this is probably for the engineer, can you show me where the Henry C. Johnson tax ditch is? Is it anywhere near the property? I'm reading through the...
Guys, I'm going to ask you to just hold tight for a second. We're a little rusty on our COVID protocols here, and I forgot to get the podium wiped down before we had a change in speaker. So, Mr. Scott, I'm going to ask you if you step aside. We're going to let the...
Okay, you want to see if I can answer it, Ms. Wingate?
Sure.
Okay. There's a map in here with tax ditch information. It's under site-specific maps, plans, and documentation. It says exhibit.
It's a lawyer. He knows everything, right?
Tax.
You get bonus points for that.
Well, yeah, that just set me up for failure. But it says exhibit 7 in the corner, but it doesn't. There are some ditches that I think end up there eventually, but there's no tax ditches actually affecting the site.
And I did read that under the DENREC letter, how they responded, but they were referencing it. And I guess what my question is, with the proposed development, I'm hoping and I would assume, because of the storm ponds, that you would eliminate some of the drainage problems that are already current on
that,
the site.
It would have to be better than current existing, that's, current conditions.
That's what my question was. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
A couple. The Delaware Transit Corporation asks for a 5x8 bus stop pad to be near the entrance. Is that on this plan?
That I'm going to have to ask the engineer on.
Sorry.
Okay, hold on.
Hang on a second.
Hold on. We're going to let Mr. Scott sit down. We're going
to
let our...
We'll try to limit the back and forth.
Our assistant. Well, it is what it is. We're going to do what we need to do. So we want... everyone to have opportunity as they would normally have. There you go. All right. Don't go too far.
Excuse me.
You're going to have to do that again.
The bus stop is not indicated on this
rendering.
Might want
to sit down there.
But it would be included on the final site plan.
Okay.
Near the front. We can accommodate it, yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure about that. Then I saw in your, when I went and looked up the plus comments in your plus application, you had said that you needed, you were expecting to need wetland permits. Do you still need wetland permits? And why would you need those wetland permits? Or has things changed?
Well, we will be cross, I don't know if the, Jamie, can you pan down this a little, or do you want me to? You want to? Okay.
I think it's a, if it's required for the ditch, tax ditch.
Do you mind me to quiet that one?
Yeah, only if it's included in the tax ditch.
I have a later contract.
Appreciate the job you're doing there.
Thank you.
We can trade if you want.
Good evening. My name is Steve Marsh. I live at 59 Kerr Street in Onancock, Virginia. I'm an engineer with GMB, and I work primarily out of our Salisbury and Ocean View offices. So when we submitted, to answer your question, when we submitted, we weren't sure how the wetland delineation was going to come back. And so we have some ditch crossings. Those are actually where we have the crossings. That's not waters of the U.S., so we're not anticipating any impacts to wetlands. We do have, at the request of both the county and Artesian, we will have some where we're going to connect out the back end to connect the utilities to Old Mill Bridge Road. There will be like a temporary crossing to get through the wetlands. That most likely on the water will be a directional drill, and it may be a jack and bore on the sewer, and those would only be temporary and they'd be restored.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you very much.
That's it? Okay. Mr. Hopkins?
No questions.
Okay.
No,
Ms. Whitehouse? Okay. No staff on that end.
Yeah,
Counselor? That's right. Double duty. Got any questions while you're right there? All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anyone, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2021-15 Cobb property? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2021-15? Yes, sir, all the way in the back in the red. Come on up.
My lights on as well?
Yeah, we like them one at a time, if you don't mind. But
we might give you a break on the wiping since
yeah.
It's your way.
I'll tell you what, why don't you come on up here? We'll since
she's
we
better,
can,
she's the better looking one.
We
so.
Can get a well, we can get a two for this way. You guys probably been around each other a little bit. So you're probably pretty safe.
About yeah. 33 years.
And first of all, I guess we want to say it's not.
Okay,
we don't
whoa, whoa.
Oppose.
First of all, I need you to introduce yourselves. Oh, okay.
My name is Mike Lingenfelter.
Okay, and you are?
Joelle Lingenfelter.
Wonderful. Okay, go ahead. Tell us what you got.
So on the map, I don't have. Do I have control of this? If I is there a mouse here for me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is. Yes.
There's a mouse to your right. So
yep, there is. So here's our property right here.
Right.
Can we zoom out a little bit?
Do you want my?
You can't on that.
On
map.
That one. Can you go to the the Sussex County tax map? There. When you look at this map, you can see we're kind of unfortunately sandwiched right in here right now. We've been there for since 93, and even our crawl space is now wet all the time. What wasn't before. And that's not maybe, I think it maybe happened when this went in. I'm not 100% sure. But there's no way for water to get out of this whole basin. It's basically a basin in there. And if you look at their map of their wetlands, it's like a half moon, and we're the other half of that moon. And I just think that when this goes in, I know, and I'm not opposed to this, but I'm really concerned about the water we're going to have, like how it's going to impact us. And I see, like, when you go, can you go to the one that has the layout with the actual development? There you go. And I know you can't see this here, but this is actually all developed as well. There's nowhere for water to go here. They do have the water management ponds and so forth. There's a ditch that goes here, and it goes right past our property. There's nowhere for that water to go. It's not going anywhere. It ends up coming across our front lane and goes down around us, and then it flows into, I'm sorry, this property here. I'm not sure whose property that even is, but basically the water flows down through, around, across our lane, and then into this basin here and all through our area. I've noticed it's actually increased, and I'm not sure if it's because some activity was done here that shouldn't have been done, because there was a ditch there at one point. I don't know what happened there. And then this development, of course, went in here, and this development went in here. I also, my son and I have been fishing, well, me more than him, Derrickson's Creek, and it is just, that before the bridge, this is all tributaries right into that same area. All of these developments, the Fox, the Sweet Bay that just went in, they're all headed to that same ditch, or that same Derrickson's Creek that's trapped on the other side of the Derrickson's Creek, the bridge, Old Mill Bridge Road. So my concern is, if you look at this, the way this is set up, it's almost like we're building a dike, because this is going to be, my hunting stand is right here. not that I'm partial to the deer hunting, but it's going to wipe the deer population out most likely. But this is underwater almost all the time. My kids they ice skate there, right where those lots are. They're going to have to elevate that at somewhere. It's going to have to be elevated to put a road in there. You asked about the ditches. There are huge ditches in there that go across the property. I'm not sure. I don't see a plan for that in here, but again, I don't understand where the water is going to go, because it moves. There's a giant pond here that in the last 18 months turned milky. It's milky right now, and it hasn't been like that for 25 years. So I don't know what's happening, and I don't know if it's I just don't know. And if they have tested that water prior to any movement, or did they test it since? I don't know. Again, I am not opposed to this, but I am opposed to, if it impacts this 7 acres, it impacts our lives.
Well, we have a well too.
Yeah. Oh yes, and we're all on wells. This whole section is on wells, so I don't know. I know I heard that water's coming in off of Old Mill Bridge Road, and I'd be excited to be part of that, especially if this development goes in. And I can't really think of anything else.
Kind of had a few questions about how it impact the things that we do on our properties. He mentioned the hunting, for example. Like, would that impact our ability?
I'm going to ask you to direct your attention this way, please.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't know if that's going to impact our ability to use the property to hunt on still. Will it change our setbacks as far as how far you need to be from a home in order to fire a shotgun? Would we face any liability? They mentioned some of the trails around the property, which would obviously butt up against ours, and if I was a kid, I would definitely be off the trails and going through the woods. So do we have to worry about any liability? Do we have to get extra insurance if somebody gets hurt on our property? We just had those kinds of questions, and also whether eventually down the road there would be some more traffic lights, I'm assuming, put in, because we've got problems getting out.
Robertson.
And that's everywhere.
So our road, we come out right here on Chandler Drive, and we're actually a unpaved road still left. It's a more of a right of way than it is a road, and it's scaled all the time. And I will tell you, if anybody's ever been back in this area when it's wet, like you can't walk in it. So, and then when it says it's wetlands, it's wetlands. Right now, it's not too bad, but
it does push the water our way. When that fills up first, and then it creeps our way. So I don't know if we need to have our house raised, which is possible. But right now, that would probably be the option for us to have to raise it.
I got a question, Mr. Lingerfelter.
Yes.
You mentioned the ditch line between your property and this proposed development. If they did maintenance on that ditch, do you think that would?
No, there's no, the ditch line goes to this. Okay, can you see, can you go back to the tax map one? It has the actual pictures, yeah. Okay, so here is a, you can zoom just a tad bit in. Or can I? Oh, I can. The ditch, the main ditch comes off the highway. Because remember, all this has to drain off the highway, or off of 20. It goes down through a ditch, and that ditch goes to this first pond, right? Which is, this is actually a pond right here. And then there's no connecting pond here. This pond is crystal clear. It doesn't have any sediment in it. But what happens on this side, I can't tell. I don't know where the water goes. But this ditch here, the water flows in it. I mean, it flows. So I don't know how that's going to go down, around, and I don't know where it goes. I guess it goes right back in here and right back in this area.
We'll try to get some answers for you when you're finished.
Yeah. Am I repeating myself?
No, you're fine. Okay.
So anyway, that's kind of where we are. Because whenever we do get the big storms when they come, our lane is right here. Water doesn't come this way. It comes this way. It comes from this section. And that, there's a bunch of old ditches back here that are, if they can be maintained, there's a ditch on this right-of-way. There's a right-of-way here. Oh, I can't say, sorry. right-of-way. But it doesn't go anywhere. So anyway, that's kind of our concerns. And we wish you all luck. I mean, but that's great. It's fantastic that the Cobb family, we've known them for years, so.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get some answers for you here in a second.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Take a seat. And Mr. Robertson, did you want to speak to the hunting and other liability issues?
I can't really speak because that's issues that are personal to them. You know, that would be something that with the liability concerns, that's an issue that comes up just with neighbors in general.
Trespassing.
The hunting, I'm always reluctant to comment on that particularly because this is, you know, I think their property is like 6 or 7 acres. You know, there's probably limitations already on what they can do on that, given the size and dimensions of that. I would just advise them to consult their own attorney on both those questions.
Okay. All right. Mr. Scott, could you have someone from your team come up and address the storm water issues, the drainage issues that these folks are concerned about?
Certainly. I will come to the podium, but I'll ask Mr. Linnae to.
Sure.
We need.
Address. Okay.
Yeah. You need to wipe it. Oh, you did? Okay.
She's already done it.
Talking and didn't see it. Sorry.
She's around.
She's on it.
Okay. All right. Dr. Linnae, if you would introduce yourself for the record, please.
I'm Edward Linnae. I'm a professional wetland scientist at Environmental Resources Incorporated, Sobeville, Delaware. And so, down here. So what I'd like to do is kind of in general, and I have a handout, I have a couple pictures of things, but I could, this is a little bit of a unique site in terms of waters and what's happened on the site. Because part of this site was actually impacted, I've heard the word pond, but actually the ponds are largely borrow pits that were created, some number of years ago. And to some degree, it's correct. Those borrow pits, and I'm going to explain this, are isolated, and there's drainage that goes into them, but that's not the main drainway that will be serving this site when it's developed. And so, if you can see here, here's the ag fields. There's a ditch right here. So that's not going to be regulated by the Corps of Engineers, but it's a man-made ditch excavated through uplands. It comes to this point right here. There's a little lane that runs back to this field, and then that ditch runs right here, runs along the edge of the woods, wraps around here, comes to this point right there, and then that runs into this, and this is a big wetlands area, behind the Waters Run development. Basically, that ditch runs right here where there's a pipe near the highway, and all this water from pretty much all this part of the site, and basically that's going to be our drainage way too. Our stormwater basins are going to connect so that our water drains through this existing, and it's a pretty substantial wide and deep ditch, but drains to this point, and then we'll go out under Old Millbridge Road. What happens over here, if you can see, this is actually a water-filled depression. There's a ditch, there's, you know, along the highway, there's a highway ditch, there's a ditch that runs down this property line, and it runs along here, and it interconnects with what, this is one of the old borrow pit areas, okay? And then that, the ditch actually is not on our property, but it runs into a larger borrow pit area that was, you know, discussed here. And these borrow pits have berms. In other words, they dug out an area and then they moved over and they dug out another area. So they're not necessarily they're interconnected by groundwater, but they're not flowing from one borrow pit area to another. It's a little larger. And so, again, there's a ditch that runs into this system of borrow pits. All this is these little berms I'm talking about, and to some degree, this larger pit right here is interconnected. A lot of these water areas are all interconnected. And this particular pit right here, I believe, will be regulated by the Corps of Engineers as a wetland in Waters of the United States, because it connects with other wetlands that go through this property and ultimately drain up to that culvert, you know, that by Old Millbridge Road. There's a couple little pits in here that are really nothing more than a hole in the ground filled with water that they're not, that won't be regulated, at least in my opinion. But this larger area here will be left alone. And this whole block of woods, as was mentioned, this is all pretty wet, forested, non-tidal wetlands that borders this larger pond. There is a little ditch. This ditch runs through this field, but that ditch stops right there, and there's a remnant of a ditch that runs this way. It's not much of a, it's not that functional a ditch, but it runs this way into these woods, which are all wetlands. So the balance of all these woods back here are all wetlands. And again, on this side, just to highlight it again, the stormwater basins and the stormwater from this project, we may change this ditch, but we're still going to take the flow that comes this way, takes the flow that comes this way, and this ditch will still remain around the perimeter of the field. And again, this will be our exit point up here for all the stormwater that comes from this facility. So we're not planning on adding any water into this borrow pit system. We're not planning on any water here. A couple of these smaller pits, they could be actually converted into a stormwater management basin at some point in time, too. That's pits that are not regulated as wetlands. But that's the way the drainage flows. And I recognize that there may be a problem, because, again, these assemblage of borrow pits that are all through here aren't necessarily connected with a ditch that lets them drain anywhere. You know, that's why it's important for us not to add any water into those pits, and that is our plan.
Well, what assurance can you give the Lingenfelders that your activities on this site are not going to adversely impact their property?
Well,
from a drainage point of view.
Well, that will, you know, we'll be submitting to the Sussex County Conservation District,
right,
and they're going to have to review a stormwater plan. And they're going to look for a positive conveyance off the site, which is the ditch that I showed you, that ditch system going up to the north. So, you know, and I think we're testifying and stating today that we're not going to add water to the borrow pit areas. And I think that's really as to what we can control on this site, that's what I think we're able to do.
Okay.
So I guess kind of in follow-up to that, you know, certainly what we see as a result of the engineering that GMB and others do is oftentimes people do come up, they do have, you know, really legitimate concerns because they've had a historical problem, like, i.e., what we have here right here tonight. And, you know, the goal, and I think typically is the case, during the construction, you change the topography and you get the water to stop sheeting over onto other people's property, mm-hmm. and you retain it you correct the flow somewhere else. Is that what we're hearing you say, that that's your expectations on this situation?
The expectation is we're going to be directing flow into our own stormwater basins on the site, and that those basins are going to follow that ditch line that I pointed out in the field and discharge up to that area to the east, where there's, and I, you know, I can even provide a picture of that at the downstream end of that ditch if you'd like to see it.
If you wish to submit it, we'll be happy to receive it.
It would be great if, you know, when you get this topography done, if we could get if we could have the opportunity, which I know we can't, but to follow up with
homeowners.
Well,
let me tell you what would be even greater. What would be greater?
And they say, you know, my crawl space is no longer wet.
Well, what would be really good is if when we close the public hearing, if you folks that are here representing the applicant and the Lingenfelders could have a little meet and greet out in the lobby, get to know each other, you're going to find that you're all decent people. And I think any questions or follow-up questions that they might have, they can ask directly to you. They also can let the Soil Conservation District know that they have an interest in what's happening here, so that the Conservation District is aware of the situation here. But I'd really encourage you all to just get together, talk to each other when we're done. Okay.
So I would like to, I'm going to submit a colored rendering showing the different wetlands areas on the site. It, you know, it also, you know, highlights and shows some of these ditches. I have a smaller set of photographs and a larger set of photographs. So this set pretty much just has a little caption at the bottom of the ditches to, you know, basically there's a picture of a few ditches. And these are a larger version of the same photo, so I'll submit both of those. Just so you can see, this is a picture from today of the down. You see it's a pretty deep, well-formed ditch. So this is the ditch where it would be exiting our property and going toward Derrickson Creek. And right now, and this goes a little bit to kind of the situation, as you can see, there's no water in the ditch right now, despite being in the middle of the winter. So it is, the topography out there is, as you go out in the fields, there's some water that lays in the ditches. So, you know, could a situation be benefited a little bit by some ditch maintenance? You can only do the ditch maintenance that's on your property because it's not a tax ditch. So.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
So I will give these.
We switched ends on
it. And we've changed everything. So, you know. Okay, is there anyone else like to speak in opposition? Or just like to speak? Mm-hmm. Over here, there we go.
Yes,
come on up.
Yes.
Give us your name, you may have the floor.
Yes, okay, all right. My name's Roseanne Schneider and I live in Fenwick West.
Okay.
And my only concern as I look at the plan is I was concerned about the entrance being directly across from the entrance to Fenwick West development.
Right.
I mean, it's directly across. And
right.
There's a lot of traffic on Route 20, much more than in the past. I have lived in Fenwick West since 1995. And And I live also right on the corner of the development, so I'm aware of all the traffic that is in and out of our development. And because that entrance is the main entrance to Fenwick West, there's a small entrance, but not used to the extent, I mean a small additional entrance off of New Road, but not used like this one on Route 20. There was an accident once out front there, but I don't really weigh in on that. Okay. Just one time. But cars travel rather quickly there. Actually, the speed limit is 50 there. I don't know if that would change. And so as cars are stopping to turn into Fenwick West, then cars are passing those waiting to turn. They're passing on the shoulder. Now, I realize, again, all of that would change because there would be an access point created, et cetera. But that's all. Just as I looked at that plan, that was my concern, that vehicles would be trying to exit simultaneously. That's a rather large development. Well, in a relative sense, 68 homes. And I'm assuming that these will likely be year-round homes. We don't know.
No.
Okay, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, that's the type of development it will be. I mean, right, single-family homes, not vacation. Oh, they might be vacation homes, but that's all. I just wanted to mention that.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition or just like to speak? Okay. No one else in the room? Okay. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2021-15 Cobb property?
Is anyone on the line is in favor of or in opposition to this application? Please dial 5-star.
Yeah.
I have Ashley on the line. Ashley, your line is open.
Line. Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm an employee with Sussex County and just testing the line.
Okay, thank you very much. We hear you loud and clear. Actually, folks, we do that every time, just to make sure that people get heard, okay? It's important they be heard. Okay, operators, or anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one on the line who would like to speak.
All right. Thank you, operator. Okay. Anyone on the commission have any further questions?
Just that I would like to see a provision put in the covenants, as we usually ask now, to include that there may be hunting nearby, and there's a better way to say it, but that not to be upset if you hear shooting.
Yeah. What we usually do when we have that concern is we already have an agricultural use protection notice that talks about expectations of being near land use and agricultural purposes. We've modified that for hunting purposes. This puts people on notice and that there might be an expectation of, you know, hunting activities and noise and whatever.
And to add to that, that perhaps if this is approved, they could put signs up, no trespassing, on neighboring properties.
Yeah.
So the people this side and within their property wouldn't trespass, or at least would be on notice. Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. I'm sorry, but your time's up. Well, you had your opportunity to speak, and we don't reopen. So we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Okay. Our